Yeah, so today we'll be talking about salt and light. And over the New Year's Eve service, I started talking about what God was showing me as we came into 2025. And I remember last year, God gave me the passage from the prayer of Jabez, "Oh, that you will bless me and that you will enlarge my territory and that your hand will be upon me." And that's what God gave me coming from 2023 to 2024. And when I was praying into 2025, and God just, I just had these words, salt and light, salt and light. That's what I had God say. And I was like, God, what do you mean by salt and light? And I began to study the scripture about salt and light. And here are some of the things that God spoke into my heart from the word of God. And I want to just share some of them with you, and even as we go into the year 2025. So can we please read together? And I think I have this here. Yeah, cool. Thank you. Yeah, so I moved it up one bit. Yeah, move it back. So can we read Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16? Can we read it together if we can, please? Okay. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on the foot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Yeah, so the Bible says lots of things about salt, and salt signifies so many things, okay? And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it says, Jesus Christ tells us that you are the salt of the earth. Now, and what do we normally use salt for? Children, any? What's salt used for? Seasoning, okay? What else again is salt used for? Okay? Preservation, any other thing that salt does? Sorry? Cleansing. Yeah, cleansing, okay? So salt does many things, okay? Preservation, seasoning, and making food savory and tasty, okay? And I was reading about how salt makes food tasty. Actually, it's not actually the salt that makes the food tasty. The salt brings out the flavor in the food, okay? So it opens up the food so that the food's flavors can be opened and you begin to taste them. And that's what salt does. And God is calling us to be salt in this world. Towards the end of 2024, there were so many plane crashes and so many. And anytime I put on the TV to listen to BBC, it's always bad news. I'm like, oh gosh, not again. You know, but that's, they have no choice because that's the news that is happening. There's always something that is unhappy that is happening, you know. But God has called you and I in this unhappy world to make this world a happy place for other people. God has called you and I to be salt, to bring about life and flavor to the lives of people. There are many people within your sphere of influence that are going through so many things. Many people are going through so many problems. If you go to the hospital, you see what's happening there. The waiting times on the NHS. The problems that people are facing in life. Even things like poverty, surprisingly, in a country like this. So there are many things that are going on that God wants to make you salt. God wants you to be an influencer in your sphere of influence. And that's what Jesus Christ has called us to be. He says, "Your presence is designed to uplift, to enhance, to give glory to your Father, not to destroy or to harm others." So God has called us to be salt. And I was going through what the Bible says about salt, and there's something new I learned about what the Bible says salt is. And if you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5, 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by covenant of salt?" So salt is used in reference or in relation to a covenant. And what is a covenant? Does anybody know what a covenant is? What's a covenant? A contract. It's actually much more than a contract. It is a type of contract, but it goes beyond. Okay? So when you have a covenant with someone, are you supposed to break that covenant? No, it's supposed to be a perpetual covenant. And the Bible says that God made a covenant of salt with David, an everlasting covenant that someone from the line of David will sit on the throne of Israel forever. An everlasting covenant, an everlasting agreement with David. And God is saying the same thing. I am making an everlasting covenant with you and with me. God has made promises to you as a person. God has made promises to his church. God has cut a covenant with us. The Bible says when God was cutting a covenant with Abraham, that he made him to get animals and he divided them. And the Bible says a touch went through the middle, signifying that God himself had to swear by himself because there was no other person greater than him. And God cut a covenant with Abraham. I said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And that covenant he cut with Abraham still holds till today. Over 4,000 years ago, even more, still holds till today. So when God cuts a covenant with you, and when God cuts a covenant, it is up to God to keep that covenant. It's like 99% God's work and 1% your job. God, it is he who works and wills in us to do of his good pleasure. God himself will make sure that that covenant is kept. And God has cut a covenant with you. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, if God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? When God says something, when God promises you something, it comes to pass. Because I can promise my son to buy him the latest Nintendo game. Okay? And I have the money to buy that Nintendo game. And I say, I'll get that game to you before your birthday, which is this month. And I go online, and he's out of stock. There's no Nintendo game to give him before his birthday. Because I'm a human being, I am limited. Okay? Even if I have the money. But when God makes a promise, because he's God, it will surely come to pass. It will never fail. You see, I sent forth my word, and my word will not come back void until it has accomplished the purpose for which I send it forth. So when God sends his word cannot come back void. His word must accomplish the purpose for which it was sent forth. That's the God we serve. A God who makes and keeps promises. Not like our politicians of today. And now, I want to come to the other thing. Say, we are salt, but we are also light. Matthew, we'll read again. I'll read this again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are salt and we are light. And may I ask, what's the importance of light for human beings? What's light used for? You can see. Yeah. Without light, you can't see anything. What else does light do? Sorry? Illuminates, yeah? What else does light do to plants? Photosynthesis. Yeah, makes them to make food. Yeah, so for those of us, we all know what photosynthesis is anyway, so that's fine. And it's so surprising that the light from the sun helps the plants to make food for themselves and to give out oxygen. That's what light does. And also, it's also so interesting that without light, if all the light here goes off, even though you guys are here, I won't be able to see you people. Although you are here, although my eyes are still there, although the objects are still here, but because there's no light, I can't see anything. So light makes us see. And I was going through this diagram, and the fact that the image is actually upside down, so I'm surprised why we don't see things upside down, but we know why that happens, because the brain interprets things properly for you, and it turns things up and right side up again. So without light, you can't see. Without light, plants can't make food. And without light, that means you can't get oxygen, because they give out oxygen. So light is so important. But how important is light when it comes to the kingdom? Let's look at what light does. Light represents vision and sight. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Let there be light." God sent light. The Bible says there was darkness, there was chaos. And God said, "Let there be light." He brought about illumination. He brought about understanding. Light represents truth. In Psalm, I've jumped a bit. Okay. In Psalm and chapter and 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Without the light of God's word, you have no understanding how to navigate right or wrong. I was doing a Bible study with my children, and I asked them, "And how do you know whether something is right or wrong? What makes you believe that this is right or wrong?" And they said the right thing: the word of God. Our entire system, our entire culture, the Western culture, is based on Judeo-Christian principles. And that's how we know what right is and what wrong is. And the moment those absolutes are taken away, things begin to change. The moment we forget about the principles of the Bible, everything begins to fall apart. The whole society falls apart because nobody can tell whether something is right or whether something is wrong. For example, I like playing music, and I can decide to play music and play it loud, and I'll be happy because I'll be happy, but my neighbors will not be happy because I'm disturbing them. People think that, well, if I'm happy, and that's fine, it doesn't really matter, then it's right if I'm happy. Anything that makes you happy is right. That's the culture we are moving into right now. Once it makes you happy, it's right, but that's not the right thing. It's only right if God says it is right. If God says it's not right, it is not right. So the light of God illuminates our understanding, helps us to distinguish between right and wrong. Let's take some water. Light represents purity and holiness. It says, "Be holy even as I am holy." John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "God is light, in him there is no darkness at all." God wants you and I to be holy. It is possible to live a life of righteousness. God is calling us into righteousness in the year 2025. He's calling us to step up to a higher level of responsibility, a higher level of purity, a higher level of holiness, a deeper walk with him. God is calling us to himself. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was no more because God took him. He got to a point that Enoch could not stand this earth. He was too holy to be here. He had to go. And that's what God is doing. God is taking us gradually. We may not be there. We are a work in progress. But God is gradually and lovingly taking us towards where we should be, towards holiness, towards purity. And the light of his word is helping us to get there. So how can we be the light of the world? We need to first of all receive the light. You can't give out what you don't have. It's impossible. You can't give out what you don't have. I can't give you a Lamborghini right now. I don't have one yet. Maybe I'll have one. Yeah, I don't have one. I don't even like Lamborghinis anyway. I prefer a Jeep. Okay. I can't give you one, okay? Because I don't have one. So if you don't have the light of God in you, you can't give out the light of God. And there are so many people out there who need the light of God. And the Bible says, the whole earth is waiting for you to manifest. It's waiting as in back pangs. For those of you who have seen Women in Labor, it's waiting for you to manifest in what God has put in you, to shine the light, to be salt to this world. But you first of all have to receive the light. And if you are here and you haven't received the light, I'm not saying you are born into a Christian home as I was. I was born into a Christian home, and for 20-something years of my life, I didn't know the light. I went to church every single day, and I gave my life to Christ when I was after university. So it's not about your culture. It's about, do you personally have the light of God? Do you know God personally? Is he your friend? If that's not the case, then this is the time to ask him to come into your life and become your personal Lord and Savior, so that you can be a light bearer in the year 2025. Do you have the light in you? Isaiah says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. He brought light, illumination. The world was filled with darkness. Darkness represents everything bad, everything that is not of God. But when the verse says, when light comes, darkness cannot comprehend light. No matter how dark a place is, once you shine light into that place, darkness disappears. They don't argue. They don't contend with each other. That's why I tell Christians that once you are a child of God, you have got nothing to be afraid of. You carry the light of God. Because when light comes in, darkness takes a bow and leaves. No argument whatsoever. And God is calling you to be an influencer in wherever he has put you. In your office, in your neighborhood. You know, I was just watching the burial procession of President Jimmy Carter, who went to be with the Lord after 100 glorious years. And out of all the American presidents, he's my best because he's a wonderful Christian man. He did wonderful things. Wonderful things. And I was just hearing what he did, you know, how he changed so many things in just 4 years as president. He changed so many things because he was carrying the light of God. And this guy, after he left his presence, he went back to his small little house to stay. He did not have a mansion. He was a peanut farmer. He went back to his humble life. But his light was shining out because he was a carrier of light. And God has called you and I to our little places of influence in your office, in your neighborhood, in this town, in this nation, to be light bearers. Let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father. You don't have to be the king of England. You don't have to be the prime minister. You don't have to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. You don't have to be a politician. You don't have to be the vice chancellor of a university. You just have to shine your light wherever you are. Simple flickers of light. That's all God wants from you. Wherever you find yourself, God is calling you to shine your light. What does let your light so shine means? It means to live in such a way that others see Jesus in us by reflecting his character of love and truth in all that we do. This world needs love. The love of God. I'm not saying superficial love that is based on feelings. The love of God is agape. Is unconditional. It's not dependent. See, I don't love you because you love me. If you love me, don't love me. I don't care. I'm still going to love you. I'm going to love you. Because that's what God said I should do. I am obeying. Love is a command. For the Christian, love is a command. I love you because I have been commanded by my commanding officer to love you. And I'm a good soldier, so I will love you. That's what Christians do. We don't love because people love us back, or because I'll get something back from someone. I love you because God has loved me. I've experienced the love of God, and I want to pass that same love over to you. And likewise, you're loving me not because I talk too much or because of who I am. You know, thank God for my wife. I know she's loving because God is commanding her to love me, because I can be very, very annoying at times, you understand? You know, so she's a very, very good soldier. It's true. So She's just being modest, you understand? You know, so she loves me because God has commanded her to love me. And that's the kind of love that God has called us into. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let people see the glory of God in your life. Let people give glory to God. Let people say, I remember when I was working in an office and there was a guy who was a Muslim, and I didn't preach to him, didn't say anything to him about God. You know, one day he just came to my office and says that he wants to give his life to Christ. And I said, why do you want, of all stupid questions to ask? Anyway, I asked the question, I said, why do you want to give your life to Christ? He said, because he just likes the way I behave. And that is a human being like me, ordinary human being with so many flaws. Your light doesn't have to be big. It could be a small flicker of light. You don't have to say anything. People are watching you. Our lives are letters. People are seeing and say, what makes that guy tick? Why is he so happy? He's gone through so much. There was a guy who was admitted to hospital. Okay? And when he was there, after a week, the whole ward became a mission field. He kept on going from bed to bed, you understand, on his wheelchair, preaching to everyone, making them happy, encouraging them. And he was terminally ill. He was certified to die. But he kept on going around the whole world, making everybody lively and happy. That's a guy who carries the light of God. And God has called you and I to carry that light into the year 2025. We can also make our light shine by being people of integrity. That's a word that is not so common nowadays. Integrity. Somebody of right standing. People are nowadays so double-sided. You don't really know what to expect from someone. But God wants us to be old-fashioned people of integrity. It's a very old-fashioned word, but it's still the word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 1:47 says, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. God wants us to be authentic. You know, when I got married and I think my Vera was saying that, well, that she was talking to my sister, she was saying that, and your brother eats too much. She was like, that's him. He has always ate too much since he was born. So we know him. So that's who I am. I was authentic to my wife. I didn't pretend. Okay? I don't lie about it. I love food. That's who I am. Okay? Be who you are. Be authentic. Don't be double-minded or double-sided. God wants us to be authentic people without deceit and without guile. Let people know what to expect when they see you. Don't be deceitful in the year 2025. We can also let our light so shine by being kind and compassionate and patient. And I underline the word patient. And I look at my children and I say, you guys have mercy on me. Patient. I am working on being patient. Patient and forgiving. Now, forgiveness does not mean that the person becomes your friend overnight. Okay? Forgiveness means that you let away whatever the person has done out of your heart and you move on. Because once you keep it there, it eats you. It keeps on eating you. You may never become close friends to that person, but just you forget about, the Bible says he has thrown our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. It's not as if God has got amnesia or something that he doesn't remember, but when he remembers those things, he does not impute their consequences. He does not remember them the way somebody who hasn't forgiven you remembers them. It's not as if God is saying you should forget what people have done or become friends with everybody who you have been an enemy with. But when you forgive them, you forget about what they have done. You move on with your life. You commit them to God. You pray for them. You love them. And all the pain that you feel inside, God will take it away. God is calling us to be kind. We need kindness in this world. There's so much pain. We need compassionate people. We need patient people in this world, especially patient parents. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I forgive because I have been forgiven. No wonder Paul says that because I have been forgiven much, I love much. I forgive because God has forgiven me. I know what I've done. I know how I have messed up. And God forgave me. So I want to forgive people. It's all I know how to do because God has done it for me. And God is expecting us as a church to go out there, to be kind, to be compassionate, to love, to be patient, and to forgive people in the year 2025. We should live our life in such a way that as to point others to Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, now when the men of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, saw the confidence and boldness of Peter and John, these guys were just fishermen, ordinary fishermen, and grasped the fact that they were uneducated and untrained, ordinary men, they were astounded, and they began to recognize that they had been with Jesus. We all know Smith Wigglesworth. He never went to school. Didn't go through any formal education. He learned how to read by reading the Bible. He was taught by his wife. But when Smith Wigglesworth stood to preach the word of God, heaven was let loose with authority and with power because God was with him. He was pointing people to God. And the question is your life pointing people to God or to yourself or to other things? Is your life a pointer to God? And God wants you to be a channel of blessing, to be a pointer to him in the year 2025. Even as we round up, be salt and light in this world. This world needs salty people and people full of light. It says, be the salt and light in the world that spreads kindness to others through words, through thoughts, and actions that embody God's goodness in a unique, loving way. You can allow others to experience the Lord's presence in their lives by being a good friend, a good child, a good parent, a good spouse, a good colleague, and a good church member. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, because you have called us into the ministry of being salt and being light. But Lord, first of all, you want us to receive the light of God and experience the salt of your covenant. So Lord, we just want to ask that God Almighty, you help us to open our hearts, Lord Jesus, daily to the light of your word. Because you said that your word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet, Lord Jesus. And we ask that God Almighty, you help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to experience the salt of your everlasting covenant and the illumination of the light of the word of God.